Welcome to the BeastNet Podcast, proudly presented by the Beast Obstacle Course Racers and sponsored by GH Under's Performance Base Layers. Here we discuss all things athleticism to obstacle course racing, endurance to nutrition, our team, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey, everybody. You got Mike here with Adam, and we've got Victor Machete Madness on the phone. Just going to sit down and talk and kind of go through some things. How are you doing, guys?
Good, man.
It's going good.
Thank you, Mike. So thanks for hanging with us for a few minutes. We don't really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy with a lot of cool stuff going on. Man, Machete Madness has come a long way. A little over three and a half, getting close to years ago.
Yeah, man. As far as like the events themselves, like kind of organized like that way, over 3 years. But I mean, since the first event, it's close to 4 years now. But yeah, it's taken us to a lot of places and met a lot of awesome people like you guys, man. And that's probably like the coolest thing about it. Like, you know, in any other ways, we would have probably never met.
Totally. Yeah. You, especially for some of our folks up here in the Pacific Northwest that maybe have only heard of you, can you kind of tell us like what Machete Madness is and what made you create it?
Oh, for sure, man. A lot of people, you assume that they know how everything started. Even sometimes, you know, when, they see in social media and sometimes you know, the ones that have known you for so long and they see, like, before and after picture before, because at one point I was about, like, 230 pounds. They've seen it many times, so for them it's like, whatever, you already seen that stuff. But the reason that I think it's important for people, regardless if it's a weight loss story or if it's someone that came back from, I don't know, any dark place that you could think of, addictions, just anything, depression. Not everyone that knows you now knows who you were before. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. And it's like the saying that they always say, you never forget where you came from. And that's kind of like how everything got started. And I think like sometimes I lose track even all the time, and I feel like it's only been a couple of years, but then I'm looking back and probably when I was around, like I said, dealing with my own, just life, man, and just being depressed and being, you know, going through all different things and probably in the worst shape mentally and physically. Like I said, I was about 230 pounds, like 33% body fat, and just, and that was on the outside, like I said, on the inside, I probably looked even worse. But around that time, like many of us, I think that's how we found fitness, not just obstacle racing, but I think if you talk to people that are, you know, marathon runners or any kind of sport, even CrossFit or anything like that, I think you'll find out that all of us can relate in many ways. You know, for a lot of us, like including you, Adam, us that we have kids, and then, you know, we're single parents, without even knowing exactly every little thing that you've been through, we probably have a lot, and, you know, talking in private, we have a lot of things in common, and that's kind of how everything started. I was at that point in place, and someone started inviting me to go, you know, join this boot camp and go to the beach and work out. And like everybody else, man, it was just one excuse after another excuse. I mean, whether you make a legit excuse or not, but there's still excuses, whether it was, you know, tired from work or just anything you could think of. And I think this guy, his name is Daniel, known him since I was a kid. He must have invited me seriously for like 6 months, man. And then, as many of us that in obstacle racing or any kind of sport, you know, a lot of us are competitive. So I think the only thing that got me finally go to one of those bootcamps was that he basically had social media. He just, I think he must have been like everybody else in January, and I was talking about, wow, I'm thinking I'll go to the gym, and dude just commented in there and said, ah, man, we all talk, you know. So I was like, oh, motherfucker, you know, I don't know if I can curse or whatever, but that's exactly what I said. I'm going to, you know, and then I'm thinking again, if you've ever seen my before picture, man, I got a little chunky, man. I was like, I'm going to go and crush this stupid workout. And so I finally showed up, oh, man, 30 minutes after this little high-intensity workout by some steps around Redondo Beach where we do a lot of my events. So I went straight to puke right after it. But that alone and a couple of things that happened, you know, as far as like my son, my little one, and stop me if I get you guys lost, but it's like so much information. But
oh, good. I love it.
makes you guys kind of like, at least how I think back and, you know, probably miss some things. And as the years goes on, maybe make me a bigger legend than what it really was. You know, make the story gets bigger. But no, my so that happened. And then at the same time, I was like sitting around at home one day after work. And my little one, which now he's 10 years old, Richie, he just started looking at me. He's like kind of not laughing, but he just asked me if I was having a baby. Because I was like shirtless. I was just sitting down and obviously probably made my stomach look a little bigger. He asked me if I was having a baby.
Oh, no.
So it was like funny, but it really made me think like, man, what the hell's going on, you know? And again, it's not just about, you know, being overweight or being super skinny. It's just the health too. Like, you can't be healthy like if you keep going that way. But that in alone, like, realizing after I went to the book, I'm like, man, I'm really like, I used to play soccer growing up all my life, and you know what the hell happened, you know? So from there, one thing that I always been good at as far as like determination, like whether it was, you know, finishing college or career wise or anything that I always set myself out to, I did it. But at that time, I guess what I was missing was just the willpower or just saying, I want to do this. So once, like I said, I went to this boot camp and then the whole thing with my son, I don't know, I just knew it. I just felt, and I was like, dude, like everybody reaches a point and you're like, enough is enough. Like, you know, can't, this sucks. This is not cool. So I just took it up on myself that I was like, and this is maybe helpful for a lot of people that, and I'm pretty sure Adam and then you guys, you get people that you meet and they see you guys doing the races and what you guys are doing in Seattle. And then you guys can speak a little bit about that right now too. Cause for whatever reason, I guess why we're friends too, is that whatever you guys been doing and whatever I started doing, and like, you know, everything's almost like, it's basically the same, has the same goal, is to get people out there, you know, meeting people that are about the same life, about far as staying out there and active. And like I said, once I decided that, you know, and speaking again about what people ask and people like, whoa, how do I start? So basically what I did, right there where I was living at the time and where I grew up, around the South Bay area, Redondo Beach, there's this cliffs in TV, Palos Verdes. I just went and I said, you know what, I'm going to go hiking for 30 days nonstop. And then those 30 days actually turned out to 60 days. And you know, anything comes up. Every day you get things that come up. Like I said, you could have had a bad day at work. But somehow, some way, I actually stuck to it. And I went hiking and 60 days nonstop. And the only reason I stopped up for 60 days, I actually started having problems with my feet a little bit. I was not really using the right shoes or nothing like that. And when I say hiking, some people will say, oh, I want to go hiking with you. If you guys know me by now, it wasn't really much hiking. It was like jumping off a freaking rock and chasing odd things like tires and stupid things like that. Like, it was not really hiking. But anyway, so one day, you know, I think I started, what was it? I did my first star race. And that was 2013, 2014. So I said, I lost those 60 pounds. Somebody invited me to do a sport race. And I was like, I don't even know what it was, man. And this is what I tell people, too, when it comes to that. People ask so many questions about events and what is this, what is that. And it's like, there's so much information out there, social media, YouTube. If you really want to know anything, click on it, put it on Google, put it on YouTube, and I'm pretty sure find a video of something that gives you an idea. So that's what I did. I clicked the video spawn race, and sure enough, I see that they're running around. I see mud, I see ropes, and I see things around. I was like, all right, I'll go. That was it. I signed up the same day. So after my very first race, I started doing like the burpee for 30 days, and I started doing them where I was hiking. And for whatever reason, I think spawn race saw all the, you know, what I have changed, how my transformation physically and how more active I was. And they started putting a lot of my stuff out there in their pages. And that's how I think a lot of the people started seeing me in social media, recognizing me on the races. And just like that, every time people were always asking, you know, I want to go with you. I want to do this. And like I said, I'm not front, man. So I basically, one day I put a post out there and I said, hi, for all you fuckers that are out there trying to like do all of this and tell me that you want to work out with me, all right? Meet me on Saturday, 5 a.m, we're down the beach. And that's actually how I started everything. Like my sister Madness, we were out there. We had about 40 people, something like that showed up. And I was like, holy crap. Like, you know, people don't like to get up early. And it was like I said, 5 a.m, and they don't have no idea what we're going to do. So from there on, I just, for 7 hours, because I was thinking, okay, what are we going to do? So the first thing we ever did, people just followed me literally and did whatever I was doing, getting in the water, getting out of there, climbing different places up there. And that's how the name came about. Sometimes people, thinking like Machete Madness, you know. Well, first of all, people were calling me Machete. And that has no... Some people wonder how did the name came about, but it's actually not that cool of a story. It's just that when I was working in the office, I used to listen to, I don't know if you ever heard of music, reggaeton. It's like a Latin music, right? And there was a popular group, and the record label is called Machete Music. And then since I used to listen to that all the time, my son's godfather, Tito, he said, he just started calling Machete because he would always see that when they were pumping up on the background of the music, it was like Machete, Machete. So that was that. But the madness part, that's on the first day. I had read the book. I don't know if you read it, but Joe DeCina's, the book that he has, is that one Spartan Up? I mean, it says the name supposed to be, Spartan the book up, but it says the Spartan Up. I don't know if you read
it. I've read it. It's a good book.
Dead race and stuff like that. He talks about that a lot of times, when you don't have like if you're doing a race, right? You're doing a 5K or whatever, there's a destination and a point where you know it's going to end. But a lot of times on the mental aspect, when you don't know basically the unknown, it's a lot tougher, right? So yeah. A lot of stuff that I read through his book, so this is my thinking for that day. I was like, I'm going to tell people that this is going to go for like 12 hours. But it was already like 7 hours in and we were all tired, man. And I wanted to see like who was going to quit. So basically after 7 hours, everybody was still there. So at that point we ended it. And then my friend, Steve Martin, should give him credit for the name probably. Cause he just looked at me and was like, yeah, man, this is madness. And then from there it was just like, Machete Madness. And that was like the very, very first, thing we did. And from there on, we're like, oh, let's go here, there, and let's go do another one. And it ended up being like every month. And now, this year, I'm not having events every month. And as you know, putting events together is a little bit of a lot of work, overwhelming to get them done. And after a while, like I said, it's almost 4 years of doing that, I'm just focusing more on different, like now adding the show race and things like that. But that's basically how I started, man. Like, so a lot of people in fitness and they're asking, how do we start? You just start. Just like yourself, I don't know if we talked about it, but for example, like, if you share with me, like, how did your event start?
Oh, geez. Man, that was a few years ago when I talked to our Beastmaster, Andrew, and I said, hey, I love this place. I love this team. We're doing so many good things. We've maybe been, like half a year old at that point. And I said, I want to help. What can I do? And he said, hey, so we were thought about workouts. So we did pre-workouts, and that was the idea, is to get people off the couch and have people they can go feel safe around, right? And he said, so can you help me get that started? I said, okay, let's do this. And we'll figure it out. And it was, maybe a month or two later that I said, I like this place where everyone calls like endurance, but some people just call it crazy workout. And that's, I love those because it's a little bit more, I don't want to say hold you accountable, but it pushes you to, learn a little bit more about yourself in ways that sometimes are uncomfortable. But ultimately, if you have a good attitude, you can learn a lot. And, so I said, hey, Beastmaster, I want to go start experimenting with these. And it wasn't too long after that I mentioned to our team, I said, hey, I'm going to have this test event where we're going to come out. We're just going to be silly. Like, we were in the woods. I don't think any of us knew what we were doing. And we had all these chains and we like duct taped our faces and ran around in circles. I think probably honestly, it probably looked like one of those like horror movies, like Wrong Turn.
Yeah, it sounds for people that don't know you.
Oh, dude, they need like duct tape, blindfolds. We did all sorts of ridiculous stuff, and we're like, oh, that's cool. And we do that again, and we started doing more and more. That was November 2016. It's our first big one. We called it Beast Breaker. And, it was, that was kind of our first foray into it. And now it's totally blown up.
Oh, yeah.
that's the premise where, like, people enjoy the idea of getting challenged on not just a physical level, but kind of that personal, that mental level.
Yeah, and the reason I asked myself for that is, like, I've seen you guys this whole time, and that before we ever went to Seattle, it was interesting how we met, because I don't know, but one thing that I believe is that, you know, we all have a purpose, and then sometimes, you know, when you go into things in life that you just don't understand them, and you think that, you know, life is not fair, why, you know, and you think for the most part, in my case, I feel like, you know, I've done everything right, as far as, like, what you think is supposed to be, you know, everything from the American dream, from owning your home, to finishing college, to, you know, everything, having a family. So when that changes, it's like, sometimes you can't understand why, and it took me, like I said, for as much as the manager was calling, you know, somewhere in 2014, 2013, I probably didn't understand what was the purpose of everything that I went through into maybe 2 years into the event, or, you know, something like that, where I was already always getting people sending messages to tell me, you know, I've been following your stuff, and you have to help me personally because I can relate. That's the biggest thing, people can relate to things. And then I started getting some really, really, like, you know, people that are battling, like, you know, even just today, private messages. I'm reaching out to a person that I see that she's battling like brain cancer or something like that. And this girl, she met me. She was passing out waters at the Big Sur Trail Marathon this past year. And so people like that, when you start hearing, like, I'm not saying when we're going through anything that could be a loss of a job or a divorce, you know, all of the stuff. Of course, you know, they're not going to be a good thing in your life. They're going to make you feel, they're going to make you struggle. Some people don't even make it out of struggle. I mean, suicide, how many people have done that, man? Killed themselves over stale relationships, things like that. And I reached that point somewhere at one point, you know, I did grab a gun, and I was like, I was just tired of, you know, not understanding why was this happening to me. But because of that connection with people, like I said, of the girl that I'm telling you about, I got a lot of people that reached out to me that were dealing with things like that, where, like, I mean, it was, like, health-wise, life and death, and even worse situations, people that have been abused all their lives, and they just, for whatever reason, feel comfortable telling you. And then you know for yourself, the people that you met through your guys' events up in Seattle, the connections that you made with them, and the things that they have told you, how basically you guys and us and not any of us that are, any of the leaders out there that are, you know, taking the time out of their life, business-wise, or no matter how, if you're taking the initiative to organize and get people, like, you know, sponsors off the couch and get them to do other things, then you know the connections you have made and the impact that you made in those people's lives. And that's when everything makes sense. And it was like, you know, I was not meant to, you know, be sitting in an office. Like, I, you know, basically I'm a claims adjuster by trade. You know, that's my profession. I've been doing that for 70 years. I have to do it on and off, but not, that's not, you know, I know that was not what I'm supposed to be doing, like sitting end of the year event. You know, we had Coach Penn out here, and I started getting up, you know, the guys who have coached my team. But now a lot of people are, like, doing their own events. Like, back in those days, not many people were up in those, in the trails, carrying the stupid tire or doing nothing. You know, I can say that, you know, you never, like, you know, I didn't start anything, really. I just, like, started doing my thing. But at that time in SoCal, there was nobody else doing anything like that. And that's not to, you know, to pump yourself up, but that's the point of saying, you know, how do you start? Or you live in a place like, you live in Seattle, you live in, I don't know, Portland, and nobody's doing that, you could start doing it. You know what I mean? My thing with me, it's never been like a Manchester United, how would I say I'll take over the world, but, you know, but it's always been, like I told you, the first time I went out there, it's like, we go out there once a year, whenever we went, it's like, you guys have your thing, you guys keep it going, and that's really where West Coast Spartans, sponsor this, sponsor that, and even, like, at one point, I think I did, like, 30 days vegan, they put me in a vegan group, and it's like, they basically so many Facebook groups, so I think when I was a conversation about Seattle, I said, who told me even to go to Seattle, they put me on you guys' group, and they said, yeah, you know, there's people right there. And at that time, you guys had your group, and you know, obviously, somebody has to be in charge. And I totally agree that way. You know, somebody has to regulate, man. Somebody has to. Otherwise, it's otherwise it's just nonsense. So the thing when I came about, you know, a lot of times, and this is a this happens all the time. There's misunderstandings in life, 100%. So I think somebody put me there. I put a thing about the you know, doing an event or whatever. But in your end, you're kind of looking like, who the hell is this guy? Or even if you knew me, or I don't know, but you were like kind of like saying like, well, shit, we have a something organized right here. And in the beginning, of course, you know, we all by nature, I think, a little defensive. So I see whatever you said, it was kind of like, you know, like in my because it was like, oh, you were like, see, you could make choices. You could either be like a total dick and be like, man, screw this guy, whatever. Or, you know, you try to find out what's going on, what's the idea, what's the point. And it took 10 seconds to change from kind of like what's going on to like, man, let's do this. Let's come, let's go to Seattle, let's come, man, whatever you need from me. And it was like crazy. And then from then on, it's like 3 years now, this will be our third year. And like I said, regardless of sometimes, you know, whether who shows up or who doesn't show up, it's like the time that we've been up there has been great, man. And that I'm blessed and thanks for that. But it is funny, like I said, how you always see people on social media and on groups, they get a little, you know, they go back and forth with nonsense. But at the end of the day, man, it's misunderstanding happens so much. But it's just, we all have cell phones, otherwise we wouldn't be on social media, right? So, man, if you really have something.
I remember that day, we were talking a little bit and about an event that you were talking about in California. And, yeah. Like, I don't know how, but we kind of like miscommunicated and you messaged me and you're like, bro, like, are we good? And I was like, yeah, we're good. Like, what, why are we not good? He's like, all right, here, call me real quick. And then you called me and you're like, hey man, like, why don't you respect me? And I was like, what do you mean? I respect you. And you're like, no, you said that I don't respect you. And I was like, I looked back and I was like, no, I didn't. And you're like, oh, I read that. And I thought you said that. And I was like, what did I do? Am I like, are we good? And like total just, you know, miscommunication, right? Multitasking, right? And then it went from this conversation like, you know, who's this guy? And you were like, hey, bro, like, I'm just trying to be a good dude. And we talked for like an hour and a half on the phone.
Yeah.
And we went from like complete strangers to just like bros.
Yeah, for real. That was amazing. Awesome, man. But yeah, man, and you see that a lot, man. Like a lot of people, like I said, now in SoCal and whoever listens to this podcast, is just, you know, I'll post it out there so people could hear no more about you guys, more about us and how we met. And like I said, now there's so many people out there, like, you know, out here doing, you know, similar things that we've been doing. But it's all good, man. Like, no matter where you live, LA, man, I don't even know the population, but we have a lot of motherfuckers out here, man. There's a lot of people out here. We're in the millions. We're in the millions, man. So, OCR as a community is very small, man. I don't know how it is like in Seattle, but here, man, it's like you see the same people you see at one event, it's pretty much the same people you see at the next event. So eventually, just like I always see these things like business wise, like, you know, you go to a mall anywhere in the world and they have a food court and it's literally the same business back to back. It's a circle of like 20 businesses that are providing the same service. And guess what? There's a line on most of them. If they're still open, there's a line. So the point of that is that you do your thing, and then some people are going to be attracted to the way you do things. Some people are just different how they carry themselves. Like, and we are friends, and we relate. We in many ways similar. We like to do things shit, and like me, I don't try to offend anyone. But you know, some people, even my own parents, sometimes say, "Well, you don't have to say." And you don't have to say things like that, but it's like, well, shit, like, I mean, I know maybe not the best thing, or maybe, I don't know if you read a book about business, they don't say this, but, man, there's a lot of motherfuckers out there that they speak however they want to speak, and they're very successful. Because at the end of the day, I don't think it's so much the word that you say, but it's where you're coming from, right? Like, so even if one day, like, if I throw a video out there, and I say, good morning, fuckers, or I say whatever, people know damn well that I'm not calling them like, hey, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, it's more, just, I think sometimes that is just more like loose. It's just the way people are, and like, at least the way I am. So, the point of that is that you're going to see that, because I personally seen it where, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're this group, and you're like the only thing out there. But a lot of times, you know, people start doing their own things, and people that in some ways you might think, you know, whoa, you know, we started this, and this is what I have these ideas and you now you put it out there. It's going to happen, man. It happens all the time. But I think if you just keep being yourself and doing what you're doing, and just don't lose the, you know, like the love for why you even started doing it, and then everything falls into place, man. And hopefully one thing that I do when I, you know, not educate, but anyone out there that has never been involved in setting up events and what it takes, man, like, I respect you. And I respect anybody else that does that because, you know, even on the financial side, like you spoke about, like doing some events and they're free events. The first year, and I don't know if not many people remember this, but the first year of all the Machete Madness events we did, there was not, we were in charge of a damn penny, man. We were going San Francisco, we were in San Diego, we were going all over the place. And the thing about that is that a lot of us, we were taking a day off from work, you know, arrange something, you know, you have your boy. I have my kids too. Like, you have to do a lot, has to happen for it to come down. So I believe anyone out there listening, you know, you go to this fundraising, you get what, like 8,000 people out there. And of course, you know, they're mainstream, they're a big company, tough mutter. But unless you're supporting the smaller people, then you're not going to, the sport is not going to grow. You can't just grow with one company being at the top. You know what I mean? You have to grow. And then the only way that does, and you've seen it, some people are like, oh, you know, $30, $40. I was like, yo, you guys don't even understand that something like that doesn't go a very long way when it comes to, you know, getting people to help you run the event and anything from medals, t-shirts, and the time that it goes into. Like, if you yourself, Adam, and you guys out there, and myself, we put a clock, like, you know, like at a work clock, like you clock in. Man, the amount of hours that we log in to make things happen is crazy, man. So hopefully, I know you guys are good people out there and appreciate what you guys do. Same thing here, man. But for everyone in the industry, man, and you really got to appreciate anyone dedicating their lives to helping others, because that's basically what it is. It's not so much what the challenge is, you know, like I said, 4 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is. But it's kind of like what that event is going to do to some people's lives. And just being around motivated people that are wanting to, you know, just to be healthy and just overcome fears, overcome challenges, those people that don't believe in themselves, all of that is totally worth it, man. But at the same time, like I said, we got to support each other. And like I said, even whether it's going all the way to Seattle, whether business-wise, and it doesn't matter, like, all of that around, but just being out there and reaching out to all the people that are so damn far from us, like, that's pretty awesome, you know what I mean? So...
Oh yeah.
So life is good, man.
You know, our mission statement is actually providing multi-engaged channels of positive and inclusive growth. And we've been really pushing to give people in multiple ways to have that positive and togetherness, you know, and meet them where they're at. And I think that's clear where you're going to see a lot from us this year. And I think we're seeing that with you too, with the trail race. You know, some people might be scared of a recon or a Machete Madness, but they might see a trail race. Yeah. They're like, oh, you know, I can do that. And it's about meeting people where they are and then, you know, getting them off the couch and then, you know, life in Comadre through, you know, physical activity. And like, I got to give a huge shout to my friend Mike here on the phone who's helped us put this podcast together. It might not even sound like a lot, but you know, he works a lot of hours in the background.
It is, man. I need me a mic over here, man. that's cool, man, because I've been, like I told you before, we even talk, like, man, we can talk about whatever. And people will know when they listen to this, nothing has been pre-planned. Nothing has been, like, we say this, say that. Nothing like that. It's just naturally real shit. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I told you, I love talking, man, so I always wanted to, like, same thing, you know, there's a lot of people I have met along the way, and same thing, I would love to talk to them, but, like, there's so many projects that you want to do, but I've been telling people for, like, I don't know, a year that I'm going to do a podcast, but just like that, definitely much respect to him, because it does take work, it does take time for you to look up, you know, find out how to do things, you know what I mean, and that's why, like I said, I respect you, that you guys hustle all the time, man, and having this podcast, that's a... pretty much any kind of vehicle that you could use to reach people in a positive way. And so, yeah, certain thing on big props. Thanks for, like I said, putting it together, Mike.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome, man. It's fun. I mean, the good part is, I get to talk to people like you. you know, there's work behind the scenes, editing it and getting it all ready to go. But, you know, I get to sit here and really talk to people like you and hear the inspirational stories and everything that you guys all do. I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it. But thank you.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like I said, like you were talking about, Adam, is that once you start doing things like this, like you guys, yeah, you're going to attract people that are crazy like us and like to do all the night darkness, madness, and the crazy fun, and you love that. I think you love that more than me now, man. I think I'm a little on the outside now, like me personally doing those things, like, but you crazy, you still love doing those. But like I said, Matt, you guys have your group out there, have my thing going on. It doesn't even matter what specific event you're doing, and again, that's why I was like, you know, some people have asked me, well, why don't you do like your own like OCR, like basically like sparring, but it's like, I don't know, like it doesn't really draw my attention too much. And then again, when it comes to events, once you start involving like actual build up of obstacles and stuff like that with venues, it becomes very, it's a whole big process, and I don't want to get burned out, or I don't want to lose myself in something, adding something different that, like it's going to get me to a point where I wouldn't even want to do this. Like, I want to keep doing this stuff because I love doing it. You know what I mean? But, so, Trailblazing, man, I'm new to that myself as far as, like, running and doing all that. But I always loved, like I said, I started 60 days hiking in the mountains, man. That's how I started. So, that's actually, like, my first passion about this. You know what I mean? So it kind of makes sense that for now, it's like 4 years later that we'll be having a trailblaze. And but just to your point, that's exactly what I was thinking too. Is like, you know, there's some people, a lot of people out there that seen what we do. You know, they seen all the endurance stuff. They seen all those videos from the beach, people getting pummeled by the damn waves. Like people getting out there, like they get all scared. You know what I mean? And they're just like, fuck that. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, it's nothing wrong with them. It's just like, some people, you just don't want to do that. You know, that's fine. Like I said, I mean, I've done and I try to do all the endurance stuff that they, you know, that they had out there to do. But now it's like, you know, I kind of look at all the things that I want to do myself. You know what I mean? Even like, I'm thinking of training for that. So it's like, you have to do whatever you love. Even with a trailblaze, like people, you know what? Some people keep saying, they're like, "Oh, is it just gonna be like a trailblaze, like no obstacles, just trail running?" So when they say that, I laugh, man, because you gotta remember this: when those motherfuckers are at the top of the first loop, so the format of the trailblaze is gonna be 4 hours, and we have a 4 mile loop with about a little less than 900 feet of climbing, and it's in the middle of the mountains, and it's like. Once they do, so it's a 4 hour, 4 mile loop. So you basically do as many loops as you can. It depends how fast you move. So, but I'm telling you, man, because when we've been up there and I've done the loop, the idea of doing a second loop or a third really doesn't sound too good. So whoever does it, once they get up to those loops, they're going to earn it. And the same feeling that you get on some endurance events when you're just like looking at this and you're like, why am I even doing this? This is just retarded. Like, why am I doing this? So, I believe they're gonna get the same feeling. So like I said, some people might not want to do the regular events that we host, but they'd be down to go do some running. But they're gonna get the same feeling. They're gonna be pushed the same way as any other event, and that's exciting for me, man.
Yeah, agree. That sounds like some mountain parkour hiking.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Sounds awesome.
Man, yeah, so that's all right. But like I said, just exciting, man. Like now that we're going back out there to visit you guys and see, hopefully we'll get a lot of the people that, you know, they've been to the other, you know, the first time that we did it regular 4 hours and we did the 12 hour last year. And that was pretty damn hard, I have to say, man. Especially last year was so freaking cold, man. That was cold.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it in July this year, right?
but guess what? With you, and myself, and everybody else, we'll make sure we find a way for them to be as good as the other one. And when I say good, it means it's going to suck at that.
I think we've got a really cool venue. You know, our team's been there once before. In the summer last year, they loved it. We've done a couple other smaller kind of like development sessions there, and it's just a really cool place, and people really enjoy it. There's everything there, man. There's, you know, open coal veins, there's clay pits, there's bricks, there's an old Nike missile silo. So there's everything up there, and it's gorgeous. So yeah, July 21st, gonna have you up here in Seattle again for a Recon 12-hour. I just can't wait, man. It's always a good time. I'm excited to see what kind of snacks you have in your bag.
like
a whole pizza.
It was from a legit restaurant, too.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, man. Seattle, I love Seattle, man. It's crazy because, like I said, the places that we've been to as far as done events has been, San Francisco. We've done a lot of them right there. We've done San Diego, of course, L.A., Fresno, Vegas. But, you know, each place has its, you don't want to rank them, but obviously L.A., I live here and I live in L.A., but, man, we get a lot of love from Fresno and San Francisco. I've known for some reason, man, a lot of people from up north. Like for the trail race, looking at registration, a huge number is from up there. It's crazy. I almost have to say there's more people coming from up north than people locally. That's nuts.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so Seattle, same thing, man. Like I said, when we started doing all this, I never thought I would go do an event anywhere else. Like, we just go to the beach right here. But somehow, some way, like I said, we met and we ended up in Seattle. And Seattle, I love Seattle, man. It's like I was in Seattle before all of this. I was there for 2 weeks many years ago, maybe like 5, 6 years ago. They told me that the week that I was there, I had like the best weather they had in many years. So it was beautiful, man. First of all, the sunset was not until like almost 9 or 10 p.m. And it was crazy. I was like, man, what's going on? Like, the day felt so long. I was like, and I never read about, I had no clue about the whole sunset thing. So we are there at this park it's like University of Washington. It's like this area where there's some lake where there's really beautiful place, man. And we're like, we went to run and we went to eat, and it's like, I'm hungry again. It's like, hell, what time is it? And I look at it, it was like 9 p.m. and the sun was still out. I was like, the hell, like, this is odd. And then, of course, I read about it, like, why or whatever. But yeah, what happened? And then the last year, finally got to experience a bunch of rain. We went up there, I didn't know the rain like that, man. It rains over here sometimes, but it's not Seattle rain, man. It was pouring. I was like, wow, this event is going to be like this. But yeah, just overall, man, like I said, blessed to have gotten an invite from you guys, and getting up there in Seattle. So I can't wait. I'm trying to see if last time we drove, man, we should have gotten a medal for picking driving, man. The drive is long, but we did get to see a lot of awesome places throughout the state of California, Portland, and then Washington. Like, it was really awesome, but it can be like, you know, it's pretty tight. So this year I'm thinking I'm likely probably going to fly in, and you were telling me where to fly in, and maybe hopefully being able to get there like at least a day earlier, or stay an extra day, because like I said, I love Seattle, man, I want to spend at least a couple, a day or two extra over there besides the event. So that's pretty exciting. So any of you guys in Seattle that never done one of my events, Adam is going to be there and the crew, they're going to, you know, help us, you know, make sure you guys have a good time. So that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Let's take a quick break real quick. And I think Mike's got a couple questions. And then let's talk after that about the 4th anniversary.
All right, cool, man.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. On the phone with Mike and I today is Victor Carlillo, Machete Manis. He's a crazy good guy with a big heart.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
Yeah. Mike, I think we've been kind of going back and forth a little bit. What were your summer thoughts on Machete and Victor?
I've always loved Machete Madness. I follow you on, you know, Facebook and all that, and I was at the first one you did up here in Seattle, which was a blast. I'm not sure. I mean, most of the questions, I mean, you guys have been talking, and most of my questions have kind of been answered, you know, as it went through. I was just kind of wondering, you know, where it came from, and you answered that. And yeah, no, I mean, I've most of my questions have already been answered. It's kind of why I've been quiet. Every question I had, you answered.
Yeah, I talk a lot, man. I don't shut up. You're talking, and it's like, you know, we talk to people, and they're talking about, you know, what they love and things like that. We all, you know, whether you talk to someone that loves, you know, horses and whatever, I could talk to you all the time, you know. So, but yeah, man, like, pretty much, like I said, like, everybody out there, we all here in live experiences. What they call, you know, living, but many times are we really living life, right? You know, are we just, you know, at a place in life where we're just going with the motions? We get up every day, we go, you know, get in our car, go to work and stuff like that. And it just, I think everyone, we fall into routine, and then it becomes where we're living like Monday through Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday. You know, Monday you get up and you're like reevaluating your life decisions, and you're like, oh man, I don't want to do this shit anymore. Like, you know, you're thinking that way, and you get your ass off and you go do what you have to do, and then you get me through the weekend, and then we have Hump Wednesday. You're like, you know, midway, we're almost there, and then you get to Friday, like, yeah, it's like awesome, it's Friday, you know, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna go party? Are we gonna go club? Or like us, are we gonna go to some awesome event or training, whatever? But then those 2 days, the weekend goes really fast, right? And then now you're back into crap, it's Sunday night, and now we get back to Monday. And that, man, that's probably like a huge percentage, like 90% of people probably fall into that many times in their life. So the only thing I would add to that, in my personal point of view, is that, you know, you got to find something that you really love. You know what I mean? It's not just about the money. Even, like I said, after claims are adjusted, you make a really good living as far as money wise. You know, handling claims, you know. Not many people want to handle claims. It's a fucking stressful job, man. It's crazy. And so you choose to either, you know, keep doing that. And like I said, I still do it from time to time because it helps out a lot. But, you know, you either choose to just keep living that way, or do you choose to, like, really start living life. You know what I mean? Really, meaning you get up and you freaking open your eyes and you're like, holy crap. Like, you know, you want to get up and then just freaking hit the floor, man, and then go do some shit. Like I said, take over the fucking world, whatever. Like, so whatever it is that your love is, I mean, it doesn't have to be the stuff that we like to do. But I think the minute you find something that you really have passion for, that's when you really find joy in many things of life. You know what I mean? I don't know how Seattle is when it comes to, and I don't want to talk crap about any industry, but here in LA, man, when you go to the DMV, if you're any social service type of industry, man, you know, without offending anyone that does this, that follows my events, and your events, it's like, you hit their fucking dust, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's it. That goes into many different industries. Like, you know, people in general, most people don't really like their jobs. You just have to do it because you have to do it. And you just feel them, man. And even a lot of times, you know, like I said, when I got to the DMV, after having a great day, and you get there sometimes, like, it's almost like the look of, like, they give you, man. I'm sure you know the look. It's like, kind of like, what the hell do you want? Like, what the hell do you want now? And it's like, what? You're supposed to be here for helping. You know? So it's like, like I said, I mean, we met each other through stuff that we do. And then even so, that's why, you know, we can talk to you for days, man. Because it's like, when you're doing things that you love to do, then life is not so hard, you know? And then at the same time, you know, people see what they see in social media. They see you doing a certain lifestyle. They see you doing this and that. But people also got to understand that it's not always like that either. You know, I have, like I said, we both have your son. You know, I have my two boys. You know, anyone out there that is a parent, and obviously that they're not together with their partner, know the struggle. That for as much as you can get along with people and someone that you at one point, you guys had a life together, it's not easy, you know, raising kids, like, you know, hopefully the other parent does a great job, you know, and Mike has to say that she does a great job with my voice, but it's never always that easy, you know what I mean? There's always those struggles. So a lot of times, even career-wise, like I said, a lot of times, you know, I took with clients here and there. A lot of the stuff that we do is not that profitable, quite honest, you know what I mean? You know how it is. Like, it takes a lot of things to go into the event. So the point of what I'm saying right now is that, you know, you got everybody, you could see a certain thing on social media, and I'm not saying, you know, social media, I'm happy, and in real life, I just freaking suck. No, it's not that. It's that I'm human. You mean that if you show up to an event or you know, a workout, or if you seem at a race, many times, you know, I've been at races, I've been at events when things in my life have not been the greatest, but I felt actually a little down again, a little, you know, feeling a little dark, and that happened. But for me, it goes back to finding what you love, that even when I'm going through my own struggles, which again, I still do, we all have, that is not perfect, man. So, but guess what? When I'm around, like I said, that type of thing, that's where I have found that it really just lifts me up again. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure you get that feeling when, you know, when life has not been, you know, it's not working the best for you. But sometimes you just go out there with your beast, man, and you get up there and, you know, you guys go on a hike, or you guys, whatever you call hike, carry the heavy shit up the mountain, like, and guess what? Life is good again. You know what I mean? So for anyone out there that kind of feels like, you know, again, the people that message your text and ask you, well, you know, I want to do this and I don't know how to get started. Very simple, man. It's that simple. Find people that love what you do. You know, find people that have a common interest. And then once you start surrounding yourself with that people like that, then for those dark days, you have someone to brighten up your day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, my man. I got two more questions for you, and I'll let you get back to your day.
I got four miles to run today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. I mean, my mileage has been going up a little more, trying to be smart and follow training and learn from all the awesome people that we have. But yeah, what you got, man?
So I think it was last year when you were doing the weighted vest trifecta. It was time that we started seeing the Machete Lab kind of pop up. You mind telling folks on the phone kind of like what the Machete Lab is and when we might see another one?
Oh yeah, so I moved in July to I grew up in around the LAX area, South Bay, you know, Redondo Beach, Inglewood, that kind of area in SoCal. And there I got all into this. You know, people started working out with me, and I built a lot of obstacles that you will find out any OCR, specifically like even the spiritual for spawn race and all those things. And I build my own stuff. One thing that people notice if they follow me, like on Instagram, I'm always building something. I'm always like, I'm really handy. I love to build things, you know? So I started doing that. And then I started hosting, like, you know, nothing really structured as far as like, when do we have them? But I started trying to do them like once a month, as far as having like a Machete Lab. And then when we moved from out there, I build what I call it. Even when you're here, when you check in, it actually pops up like Machete 2.0, Machete Lab 2.0. So Machete Lab 2.0 now is like, it's a lot bigger. I have like a lot more different obstacles, and even like trying to grow the grass, and freaking grass was not really growing, man. It was like wasting a bunch of water, and you know, and it wasn't working. So I ended up we got here like artificial turf. So now it's like super legit, man. We have some artificial turf, we got the obstacles, just a great space. And now, like I said, we'll be still trying to be doing them once a month. So as far as the dates and when is the next one, I'll just say to people, you know, keep an eye on social media or at any point in time, you know, when people ask when is the next thing, you just go to machetemadness.com, and right on the top, you'll see all the events listed right there. So any sessions at the lab or any of our events, including Seattle, all of them are going to be right there. And then again, that's a little different from like, you know, from an event or the trail race. The Machete Lab is really where you come if you want to avoid doing burpees or failing obstacles. Like, this is where you need to come. Because I could tell, like, you know, I'm trying to get better at my running. I mean, I'm not the slowest, but definitely not winning any any podiums anytime soon. But I can say that as far as the obstacles go, that I could dominate obstacles pretty good, man. I've done very well. I've done anything from Battle Frog when they had it to Tough Mudder with all those cool new obstacles they have. I could say I crushed those obstacles. So I know I could teach people too. And again, that's another way how you could connect with some people that are more like gym type of people, that they're not too crazy about doing, you know, other stuff. We have nice little sessions here, but again, it's just another tool, another something for people to have and come out here. And now I'm in the city of Moreno Valley, right on the straightway, on the 215 and the 60. So we're a little more on the outside now. I'm a little closer to San Diego now.
That's awesome, man. For folks listening, the Machete Lab, Victor's done such a cool job of putting together and building this amazing training ground that he opens up in his own home. And if you're in the area, or even if you're not, reach out, Victor. Go to these when he's hosted on a monthly event. He puts his blood, heart, and soul in them, and they're really cool. Just make sure you get out there if you can. It's awesome. It'll be a good time. You'll connect with those like-minded people that are trying to make themselves better and get to that next level. So I definitely would say get out there if you can.
Thanks, brother.
All right, man. So I got one more for you, and I'll let you get back to your day. And thank you so much. So let's talk. So you just had your third anniversary, November. Yeah. So
yeah,
I want to talk. What are you doing for your fourth anniversary? You got any big plans? What are you thinking about? And what's going to make it different than the third anniversary or other events that you've done?
Man, you're trying to get some inside scoop. So the last couple of years, we planned the year anniversary towards the end of the summer. We know we're going to do it, but we just, yeah. But this time I'm actually trying to think ahead of some of that. This time one, the event actually sold out. We had actually a little over with the number. I had set it up to put a cap of 100 people. And the reason being is that, so when you have like a obstacle race or even a trail race, different kind of events, different formats, you can get a ton of people that just running around and doing the same thing. But when the event itself has to do with like what the coaches are bringing to the table, and when you're like at the beach or wherever, depending where you choose to do it, you know how it is. Like events like the Hurricane Keys and the stuff that you guys do, what we do, a certain numbers at one point it dilutes the value and the experience. So it's not the same when you have like, you know, that's why you see a lot of the longer endurance stuff. You don't see that many, it's like huge numbers, you know. I think for like an overnight long event, something like in the 50-60 range, it's a very solid number that you could still pretty much be able to keep everyone accountable and not have like a bunch of people in the back in their freaking knees when they're supposed to be planking or whatever, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So the last event, we capped it at 100, and I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up registration for the fourth year anniversary because we ain't going anywhere. So I'm going to set it up out there and put it out there. Same thing, probably cap it at 100. So those who really, you know, love our events and don't want to miss and be part of it, so they could just plan ahead of time. As far as all the anniversary events, they've been in Redondo Beach because that's where kind of like where things started. But I don't know, man. I was thinking we might even move it somewhere. Like I was thinking of, like I said, there's a lot of places where I still, you know, I mean, it has to be within Cali, I guess, for now. I thought about even San Francisco. I thought about maybe Fresno. But part of me kind of says I want to keep that tradition of having it where it happened before. As far as like what will be new, what will be different, is like I said, there's not much things that are like first time, like you're inventing something. It's more like the experience of it. And I always try to like, whether it's on the medals, on the t-shirts, or who we bring as a guest. So I think maybe we've been more focused on that part of like, you know, who's going to be there and stuff like that. Like the last 2 years, I know a lot of people, you know, you guys are familiar with Coach Spain. You know, he was initially with all those Battle Frogs. He was like the one, you know, providing the motivation. And then he's also an OCR World Championship, so he's a motivational dude. And when you're there face-to-face, he is a very intense guy. And, you know, so we love having him the last 2 years. So we'll see about this year, you know, hopefully maybe we'll bring him back or we'll see. So nothing, honestly, to be honest, I don't have nothing to do, but for sure it's going to be, I'm going to put it out there a lot earlier. Yeah. Like I said, last time I think I created an event and I put out the details like in November. And I think by the event was, I believe, December 16th. So by like December 5th, it was already sold out. So and then, you know, as someone that organizes the event, that's a huge deal. I don't know if not many people think about those things, but of course, you know, everybody sometimes don't want to commit to events at a certain time. But for us, organizing events, from the t-shirts, for the medals, for where you're going to have it, for the type of things that you want to do, when people register early, and so hopefully we'll get the first Seattle people start registering a little earlier, it makes a huge difference. You know, you're able to have just a well more prepared event when you know who's going to be there, how many people are going to be there, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So that's what
let me know when this thing's happening, and we'll bring some Seattle love to it.
Yeah, man, so right now when you said that, actually, just kind of like popped into my mind, because like, so like I said, we go to San Francisco, we go to San Diego, we go to Seattle, and those are kind of in the city, so, man, maybe we'll do something like a freaking all-star reunion, man. Maybe we'll get someone like, you know, like I said, at every place we go, there's a leader out there that, why we're there, why we even ended up at that city. So maybe it might be good to have, like, as far as coaching-wise, you know, I have my crew, obviously, but I kind of might be a good idea to have, like, you know what I mean? Like, if someone representing, and of course, some people from that specific area, and we do get it. At the three-year anniversary, again, we had a lot of people from NorCal. We actually had two brothers from Idaho. Two brothers that drove from Idaho. So it's like, we do get people that make a long trip. And just all before I forget, so what we did last year, too, we had right here at the house, we had a reunion, like holiday party for Christmas. So, you know, not everybody, you know, whatever, you believe in Christmas or not, so we call it holiday. To be proper, it's a holiday party. Yeah. So it will be the same deal, the day of the event. So that's why I'm, like I said, probably going to stick to staying here. Well, if I could find a place right here, where I live, like the lake, maybe we could do it here, but it will be the same thing. You know, we have the event for the anniversary, and then that night, we'll have like a dinner. We had a nice little party over here, man. So that kind of will be the idea. So I think maybe that'd be a great angle, like getting having people from the different places where we go, kind of be part of the coaching crew. And because again, what you do as far as like the challenge, the physical challenge, the event itself, of course, that, you know, people come for that. So regardless, you're going to get pushed. You know, I'll tell people, you know, the four-hour event, which that's what we do for the anniversary, the four-hour event, we try to make it so it feels like you just did a 12-hour event. But we usually try to push you, you know, a little harder for those times. But at the end of the day, it's really what matters, is like the experience around it. And then just thinking about it right now, it gets exciting, you know, you're down here, and then we get some of the other people from San Francisco, from Fresno, and get them all together, and that'd be a pretty epic freaking day, man. So stay tuned. We'll get more details out in the next couple of months, but Seattle, we're coming.
Love it. Let's do it. All right, brother. Well, thank you so much. I love hearing you talk. You just got the biggest and best heart out there, and you're a man of honor and integrity, dude, and I just love seeing what you do for your community.
Appreciate,
you know, not just it, in your immediate area, but, you know, social media, you've always been approachable. And you tell it how it is, and you meet people where it's at, man. And I think that's incredibly important, and I think that's rare. So we're happy to know. Yeah, we're happy to have you up here in July. Love to come down for the 4th anniversary and celebrate with you. Yeah, man, keep doing the good work. We appreciate it. Any final thoughts, anybody?
Nah, just thanks, man, for having me, for thinking about me, like, and having me, and again, thanks, Mike, for putting it together, and all of you guys, and just. I'm
talking
to see you guys in July, man.
Oh, yeah. You will definitely see you in July. We'll have to get you on that another episode right before that so we can get some more hype for July. Yeah, but I don't think we're going to need the hype. It's going to be sold out, probably.
All right, man.
Sounds
good, brother.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Victor. You take care, brother. And we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by the Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. Like us? Great. Join us at Facebook or beastocr.com. And thank you.